listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Asian House Lady.
You are compelled to listen.
Oh no, don't start with that. See, you think of the devil's tongue and you think it's a joke, but
you
it's
are
real.
Compelled.
So here is the account of my business.
If you will listen, you will listen.
Yes, will you just cut it out and talk normal?
You will listen to
me. Then you're on a
every about. Chance you get.
You are
every
minute. Joke.
You will keep your radio, you will turn the volume up even
you
higher.
It's a big joke, but you're tearing down the foundations of our nation.
The entire foundation around
very
our
funny.
Ears.
You are listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Asia. House Lady. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
You drive a hard bargain.
Ha 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 ha
Alright, you guys are listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V, and tonight we have, of course, Will Corbett from The Man the Truth, and my other co-host, Bill the Butcher. Now, today we are talking about well, there's some things that have come up and are really just out there. We have people who have really just, I don't know how to get to this, guys. There's people out there who want to regurgitate the truth instead of learning the truth, getting deeply embedded with the truth. Okay, we could talk about the Clinton Foundation trafficking children and all that, but knowing about it and doing something about it are totally different things. Okay, and this is something that, this is my style. You guys know my style. You should know my style. You want to bring up a subject? You want to talk politics? Politics is a tea party, okay? While there's a tea party going on, there are men fighting. And I'm going to talk about the psychological operations underneath. So, we have had a guest today. I'm not quite sure where she went.
She's here.
Okay. So that is that is the style. And for any of you that know me, I have fans that have followed my career for years because I've been doing this for quite a long time. And none of you have been able to tell me that I was wrong. Nobody has bothered to call in, report to me, say anything about me being wrong. Because I do investigative journalism. So there's something called critical thought that you're supposed to have. When you receive information, you analyze that information and you have questions about that information. You don't regurgitate.
And not only that, V, you're awesome. I'll just quickly chime in here. Not only do you do your own like on the ground work, do you have your own radio show, your own TV show, but then all the research and the stuff that you do yourself, then you also give a free sign-up for anybody that wants to get their point across and people that you agree, disagree with, and all that, they get to sign up, and they can have their airtime and present the information to you, and you can make what you will of it. And, you know, you're going really above and beyond in all different forms. You're doing the investigation, you're bringing things to light, you're on the ground, and you're giving pretty much anybody that wants, but besides Calling for Violence, a platform to discuss their ideas. I mean, what else can you do? So I really appreciate it, dude.
Hey, yeah, hey, V, ditto, okay? Ditto. I'm with you all the way.
Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate that. So I believe we have our first guest here with us. Janet Palin, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I'm going to let you have the floor because you have an important message and topic that you want to discuss with us.
Right. I wanted to discuss an article that I wrote that was recently published in Activist Post. I've been an investigative journalist for over 30 years. I kind of jumped ship around 2004 and stopped writing for mainstream media, which was, you know, my training and my background. But I just basically was so fed up with, you know, the sorts of media games that I saw going on within the hallowed halls of the press that I just didn't want to put up with it anymore. So I'm writing...
Same here. That's why I got into media. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm mainly writing now for Activist Post, which I find to be far more valiant and forthright than a lot of these, you know, so-called venerable and established press agencies. So the article that I was hoping to discuss tonight is called Looking Beyond Jeffrey Epstein. And it takes, as sort of a jumping off place, the fact that Epstein seems to have sort of skirted around prosecution for pretty unacceptable behavior for quite a long time. And I wanted use that and in the article as a jumping off place to bring attention to an individual who is very representative of her profession. That profession is guardian. She actually, her name is Melody Scott, and she has worked as a professional guardian for decades and has used her powers to commit the most horrific crime against her wards. Now, for those who don't know what a guardian is, there are basically two definitions. There's the the mainstream definition, which is, you know, basically a guardian is appointed by a court when there are allegations that a person needs some help. You know, they're getting old, they're doddering, they're disabled, there's something wrong, and they can't take care of themselves. And the guardian is appointed, very often a stranger, very often a stranger whose business it is to be a guardian, to look after the person and to also make their financial decisions on the initiation of the guardianship, the money, the estate, you know, whatever the person owns, goes into the care and protection of the guardian. They make the financial decisions. They make the medical decisions. They make the personal decisions, like where the person should live, if they get to marry, if they get to see their family or not. So that's sort of the mainstream definition. But in fact, as we can tell, implicit in this definition is that a guardian is somebody who owns other people, because that's what this is.
this way boils down to, it's supposed to be just a representation of another person, but that does sound...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. Would you repeat that, please?
So, yeah, the guardianship is supposed to be someone who represents someone, but it does boil down to ownership when... You look
well,
at all
you know, it has certainly bled into that, yeah. Because when you lose the right to access your own money, when you lose the right to decide where you're going to live, who you're going to see, and all of this, all of these rights are transferred to a stranger who may have a financial interest, who does have a financial interest in you, then one can see where... the field is wide open for potential abuse. So, so this article called Looking Beyond Jeffrey Epstein discusses some of the business practices of Melody Scott. Melody Scott is currently... under a Secret Service investigation. And I know this because the Secret Service contacted me about a year and a half ago, wanting to find out everything I knew about her, you know, what files I had on her. I've written a number of articles on her. And also, you know, contacts with other people who've been victimized by her. And the key word here, of course, is victimized, because she has used her position and her power to literally get away with murder. And I say that without any concern that
well, let me ask you something.
Being sued for libel or slander. Yes, what?
Well, let me ask you, do you feel, because what I know about the government, this is a very tricky situation. Whenever an agency like the Secret Service or FBI, any of those people like that, say that they're investigating something, especially when it comes to a very influential person, and we're asking questions of a journalist or anyone that may be involved, do you really feel as though they were investigating the person in question, or just keeping tabs on you and what you know? Has anything bad happened to you since this investigation started?
I felt at the time that I was contacted first by the special agent out of the Riverside Secret Service office, that he was absolutely sincere, and that... You know, I mean, basically, what I gave him, you know, was stuff that had already been published, and just simply pointed him in the direction of, you know, certain very problematic cases, and also gave him some names, phone numbers of people. And this is where it began to get interesting, because that was a year and a half ago. And the Secret Service is acting kind of funny about this investigation now. You contact them, want to know, you know, basically, you know, what is the status? And this is of an this is actually an imperative question, because Melody Scott was her professional fiduciary license, which gives her the right to function as a guardian or conservator, was revoked in 2016. The Secret Service itself investigates certain kinds of financial crimes. They're not going to investigate allegations of murder. And there are statutes of limitations at play, most of which are 5 years. So if they're dragging their heels on the investigation, they may soon find themselves in a situation where they can't prosecute anything. So given if someone in Melody Scott's position, does not act alone. Well, besides the fact that she has to be, these are court-authorized guardianships, she She's represented by attorneys, and her decisions, her accountings, everything has to be approved by a judge. So now, you know, this has gone beyond, you know, questionable actions of an individual, and has now bled onto the judiciary. And it gets worse than that with Melody Scott, because with Melody Scott, at least five separate county district attorneys have been contacted by various victims of hers, you know, from L.A. County to Riverside County to San Bernardino, et cetera, basically claiming criminal action by her. None of the DAs would prosecute. So now you've got a problem with, you know, not only a complicit judiciary, you have complicit DAs. And it gets worse than that. And the article goes into levels and layers of players, government agencies, and actually names, a bunch of names of deputy assistant attorney generals who have covered for Melody Scott for decades. So, you know, taking Jeffrey Epstein as sort of a jumping off place, you know, you have this fabulously wealthy guy who, has proclivities, which happen to be illegal, and certain friends, which, make him even more interesting to people because his friends are like presidents and, you know, and so forth. So the question there is, how far did Jeffrey Epstein's influence go, right? So the question with Melody Scott is, she has been covered for decades, and she's been covered for by very powerful people within the legal system. So you have a situation here that is to some degree parallel. And unfortunately, when you talk about guardianship, you see Melody Scott is certainly, she may be, you know, one of the more brazen and gross offenders, but she is certainly not the only one in the position of guardian who's getting her cover from others in the legal system. In fact, the problem with abusive guardianships, and we're talking about not only theft of assets, but also the guardians in many cases making, shall we say, problematic medical decisions that result in the person's death. This construct, this sort of paradigm of what guardians are doing to elderly and disabled people has become a national epidemic. I'm going to stop a second and get a drink of water. Do you have any questions or anything?
I definitely agree with you. On my TV show, Family Case Files, I deal with probate court all the time. You cannot believe the stories that I hear about not just family members taking advantage of their family members, but the court system and any other corporation. There could be building corporations, okay, building companies that have an interest on plowing your house down or just doing something. There's so many people and entities, corporations, and government that are abusing the elderly. There's a big farming system that is taking away the wealth from the people, taking away people's inheritance, taking away people's property, you know, anything that would stay in the family, the government is trying to scoop up. So this is Agenda 2130, whatever anyone has to think about that. But I do believe we have to go to commercial break, and we'll be right back for our short segment.
folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last two decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The seven herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000. Flow over 9,000. My girl is over 9,000. My squad is over 9,000. Everything we do is over 9,000.
Okay, okay. So, we are back for our short segment. And we have Janet Galen here. I would actually like for Will, before Bill jumps in, I would like, if Will had anything to say, the short segment, to go ahead.
Well, I wanted to piggyback on what you were saying right before the break, which is we got all these people out here and all these things going on, and to the earlier point, which is I was interviewing someone earlier on my show. I do a weekly show, and they were saying how the foster places and the school teachers and coaches, that's where they get the kids from. Most of these kids come from foster parents, and I ended up arguing with somebody this morning on Facebook because I have a protest. So if anybody's in the Southern New England area, come Thursday, we're going to family court. We're having a protest in Providence, the Gary Hay Judicial Complex. And I named the protest, Bring Our Kids Home, right? I don't have any kids personally, but Bring Our Kids Home. And somebody who I consider them an activist, he went to march on Monsanto and all this other stuff, they were like, oh, what are you talking about? Well, you know, it sounds to me like you're saying, let's take down D. DCYF, which is the Child Protective Services here. And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm not actually coming on saying that, but, like, there's no evidence presented to a jury, given a warrant. There's no jury of your peers, and they can just take your kids away from you. So, and the DCYF over here got caught just this year, deaths in their care, multiple deaths in their care, kids getting pimped out, and they lose more kids than the bad parents. So at what point do these statists stop licking their boots and realize, hey, we got to find a non-governmental solution to this problem, because not only are they not the solution, but they're the perpetrators, and that's where they're getting all the damn kids from.
Okay. And I agree with that. I like what you said there, non-governmental solutions. Because if we, the people, cannot understand that we are the government, that we're supposed to be the government, you're not understanding that you're supposed to govern your own life, well, maybe we need to call it something else. You know, there needs to be people that take responsibility for themselves, their environment, their situation, our social situation, instead of handing it over to psychopaths who you know are not going to do right. You can have faith, blind faith, and even something I call, it's a complacent thing. You know, I deal with people, even where I live now, where it's, you talk to them, it's in the news every day what the Vatican's doing and this and that, and no, they're not doing that. No, there's a big misunderstanding. Doesn't matter how huge it gets. No, it's just a big misunderstanding. And Catholic Church would never do that. And these people have their heads in the ground so deep, wrapped up in their asses too. I've never seen anything like it.
So. Well, there seems to be a sort of type of personality that wants to really honor authority, and there seems to be another kind of personality that questions authority. And it seems that those who just want to believe in authority they're really kind of stretching at the seams now, because it's becoming fairly obvious that the systems, you know, the court systems involving both family court and children, and also guardianship court and the elderly, that they've completely gone off into the woods.
Absolutely.
You have two really vulnerable populations here. You have children, you know, who are vulnerable, and you have old people and disabled people who are also vulnerable. And it seems that the courts have sort of developed programs, really, to prey upon elderly people and prey upon families in ways that end up enriching attorneys and so forth. There was a very good book written a couple of years ago. I think it's called The Worst Interests of the Child, by Keith Harmon Snow, who was actually a former, I believe, researcher for the UN. And he stumbled upon what was happening in family court and, you know, wrote this book, which was a very powerful book. And you can't read that book and come away from it trusting the courts anymore.
Okay. And I'm glad you brought that up. That's a great thing. People check that out. But when we come back from commercial break, my co-host Bill is an elderly man himself. I believe he's going to have some things he wants to say about this. So when we come back from commercial break. You know, everything is not for everybody.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Thank you.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
And yes, you are still listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm Coach B, and we have Janet Palin here with us. And I want to continue the subject. I want Bill the Butcher here with me. Utah's most feared man on the subject here. I want your assertion here.
My inner take on this is simple as this. Janet came on and she name dropped Epstein. And when I heard that we were going to do this show tonight, I had my people investigate the Epstein thing and everything. Nothing she has said to date has drawn a direct line from Epstein to anything that relates to anything she's talking about. I can't tell anything she's saying that makes any sense at all.
Janet, hold on.
And I will shut up at this point and let Janet defend herself. Janet, how does this have anything to do with Jeffrey Epstein?
I was trying to draw that comparison in the first part of the show, and I understand there might have been some audio problems. So,
yes.
I'm sorry that happened. It happens sometimes. So we're on a different phone now. So essentially what I was attempting to say, and no, I never said I was going to do the show on Epstein. I sent the article forward, which is clearly,
You said the word Epstein, which means you were dropping the word Epstein. How is Mr. Epstein involved in what you're saying, please?
Right. The word Jeffrey Epstein is actually in the title of the article. And the comparison that I'm making here is that you have people in this country who are apparently somewhat above the law, and they appear to be above the law because of their contacts and who is protecting them. Now, in the case of Jeffrey Epstein, we know that he had presidents and former presidents as his guests on his planes and so forth. We also know that he was involved in preying on vulnerable people. Now,
then Janet, why didn't you make that the central point of your article? You didn't do that. You didn't do that.
The central point. You haven't even read the article. You admitted that.
No, I didn't read the article because it doesn't make any sense. So why didn't you make that the central point of your presentation? Why didn't you do that?
Oh, okay. So I guess you hung up, right? Well,
jump in for a second, V.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I really don't mean to interrupt, but it's clear. And by the way, congratulations on landing Janet Phelan on your show. I did read the article, Janet, and I think, Billy, what Janet is trying to say is that there's an elite in this world, and that Jeffrey Epstein is, swirling at somewhere at the center of this swirl or close to it. And he represents, and his light sentence that he got from Dershowitz represents an example of how it is that people are moving about at will and committing crimes right out in the open. And they're getting away with it because they're friends with a guy like Epstein, who has a little black book with names in it like Rothschild and Kissinger and Clinton and our current president and so many others, just a book full of billionaires. I think that's what Janet's trying to do is draw a parallel between.
Let me interrupt you. In all respect, our current president, who grabbed him by his collar and threw him out of Mar-a-Lago because he was trying to make a pass at a 14-year-old girl. He did that.
Yeah, a lot of people are backing away from him now.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Let's get real.
I was just all I was doing was saying. I think that I believe that's what I take away from Janet's article is that this woman is moving around. She's obviously committed some horrific crimes over there in Riverside and California, in her capacity as a guardian, and the particular case, the boy who got the tracheotomy, is tragic. But I think that's I think that's what she's trying to say. Now, Janet, if I'm wrong, please feel free to say what it is that you were trying to say.
I don't know I don't think she's on the line because, I don't know. When it comes to journalism, there's journalism.
That's because she's caught.
You can argue a point, but
V, that's because she's caught.
Well, you can argue a point. In journalism, not everybody is just going to agree with what you're saying. If you're a real investigative journalism, you can take someone saying, well, this point is wrong, or that point is wrong, but... I've never actually... She's the first person that I've ever had just hang up because someone didn't agree with her. I think that's very not... It's unprofessional. So, anyways...
Well, it boils down to... She dropped Jeffrey's name several times, but she did not draw a direct line between any crimes that the... And I'll be honest with you. Jeffrey Epstein is a pimp. He is a pimp. He has pimped young ladies, and he needs to go to jail until Jesus comes back, okay? But the thing was, this woman, everything I listened to was absolute balderdash. And I just can't go on with it. So you guys, give me your thoughts.
Well, I think that 30 minutes is not much time to try to make the case that she was trying to make, for one thing. I understand what you are saying, and that is that you came on the show prepared to deal with issues related directly to Jeffrey Epstein, and these issues that she's talking about in the article are not directly related to Jeffrey Epstein. You are correct about that. She is simply using Jeffrey Epstein, who is visible, who is a very visible person, to sort of explain what this Guardian is doing. In other words, look at Jeff Epstein, see what he's doing, see what he gets away with, see why he gets away with it, which is because of his tremendous wealth of enormous power in the people that he surrounds himself with. And now you can sort of understand what's going on in the lives of the people who are being represented by this woman, who operates with the kind of impunity that he and his friends operate with. That's just what I took away from her article. That's what I read.
Well, she came on with this thing about, have you read my article? No, I haven't. I don't read anybody's article, baby.
This is my article.
Yeah, you're too busy writing.
I'm not going to read your articles. I'm not going to read your articles. I'm Bill
Well, it's
Butcher.
Actually, you know,
I won't read your article on the bed. But you need to explain what you're trying to say in your article to me one on one. I'm not going to read your article. I'm Bill Butcher. I'm not going to read your article. Come on, baby. Come on.
Well, it's not even about whether you read it or not. I mean, it's the real thing is if I have an article or if I did something, it's just like when CNN or Fox or somebody brings somebody aboard, they'd be like, okay, well, now we have our investigative journalist. It looks like you've been following this case for a few months. What do we have? And the person usually, I mean, over there, they all memorize what they're going to say, but realistically, they're not supposed to know. The journalist is supposed to say, "And hey, look what I uncovered." And the presenter, in this case, would be V and us, would be just asking follow-up questions and probing. You know, so I mean, it's pretty standard.
Yeah, and what you said about V and being an investigative journalist, and not just an opinion maker, I think fits right into dovetails right into what you just said. You know, this is a show where, you know, where facts are being presented, and this lady here who has a great resume as a reporter has what I consider to be a complicated article that was one of the first of many articles of its type that you will see, and I think there will be an evolution of this idea. That there is an elite that we can't do anything about. How do you go up against a person who's supported by other people who can call on Bill Clinton and Henry Kissinger and when he was alive, Stephen Hawking? I mean, the in his black book, in Epstein's black book, the impact of reading all those names is mind-boggling. You begin to realize that, you know, you and I have trouble when we go up against district attorneys in our CPS case, because they're connected. They're connected to other people. They're connected to judges and other attorneys and, you know, powerful people. And that's really just what she's talking about is just a larger and more concrete web than what you and I look at practically every day.
Then why is she using the name of Jeffrey Epstein anywhere in her articles? Why is she doing it? She's doing that to draw attention to the articles. Jeffrey has nothing to do with her articles. This is it's very simple. It's very simple. She's drawing attention to her articles, and which there's nothing there. There's nothing there. It's simple. It's very simple.
That is a perfectly acceptable point of view for you to have. There are still going to be people who will yell the word. It's just like what your grandson did when he made that sign promoting free whiskey and beer in order to sell apricots.
Hey, God heard you say that, man. Okay, go on. God heard you say that. Go ahead.
Guys, we have a caller. Let's let the caller talk for a few minutes here before the show's over. Go ahead, Ian. Or, I'm sorry, Lark.
Hello, gentlemen. I wanted to weigh in on your conversation, if I might.
Go ahead.
With Ms. Phelan. The issue she was describing, although I don't think that she was able to have the opportunity to articulate it fully, is frankly something much greater and much bigger than the Jeffrey Epstein situation.
No, she had the chance everything to articulate. She chose to hang up because nobody's agreeing with her or no one's kissing her butt, whatever the issue is. She had her chance to articulate. And being a real journalist, she shouldn't have to have somebody else try to say her point. Now, I understand that we're trying to figure it out, but she didn't say her point. She didn't want to stand up to criticism on the article and discuss the facts. That's what the show is about. That's what real journalism is about. I'm not here to have people say, hey, here's my article, and then want to meander. Time is valuable. The world's coming to an end, people. We got to get to the point.
Well, I'm sorry that you see it that way. I read the article. I've been reading Janet Phelan's work for years. I follow the work of Marty Oakley on this very same issue. I don't think she had an opportunity to articulate it. I think, frankly, you gentlemen are rude. And that's all I've got to say about
that. She had a chance to articulate. It's hung up.
Let me jump in on this. Why do you think we were rude? Because she was stupid with her article? Because she's not a journalist? Because she didn't know what she was doing? And because she jumped in there over her head? Why do you think we were rude? Explain to me. Please explain to me why we were rude. I'm waiting. Come on.
Don't say she didn't have a chance to speak, because she had a chance to speak. She chose to hang
up. I'm not qualified to explain why it is that you were rude, but it came across as rude.
Don't say.
I heard everything, and you can interrupt me all you want. Okay, but
no,
I have to say what I've got to say.
No, sir. I won't.
You were rude, and it was uncalled for. And
okay,
that's all there is to it, gentlemen, because you guys are low rent, low life,
son
of a bitch.
No, listen. Sir, I will not interrupt you. I will let you have your speech, okay?
You mean like you didn't interrupt Janet?
No,
not interrupt her. I asked her a simple question, and she was too stupid to answer it. Now, why was I rude?
Have you been drinking?
No, sir, I have not. I have not. And don't go there. Don't go there. You
what is your perception?
You, no.
This man is an elderly man.
No.
Has been
why do you think I was rude to her when I asked her a simple question? How does the word Jeffrey Epstein, how does it tie to what we're talking about tonight? She was trying for tags. She was trying for tags. And that's all it was. Now, that's a fact. That's a fact. And you can't admit that. Okay, I'm sorry if your hero didn't work it out. It didn't, she think. And have you read my article? Hell no, I didn't read your article. It's not anywhere near what I wrote. No, I didn't read your article because it was stupid. Your thoughts, sir?
No. He's gone because he had no talking point. When you come onto a show, you're going to talk about your article, talk about your art. If you have a subject matter, talk about it. That's what the whole point of coming onto the show. If we have insider knowledge, if everyone on the show read the article and she wants to go on a tangent, nobody can follow us. That's not journalism. Okay? That's not how it works. We are not being rude. I've never been called rude on my show at any point in time. We have someone who failed to do the standard, and someone who I guess is a fanboy said that we didn't give her an opportunity to talk. You all heard it. She hung up. I don't want to waste any more time with it. So,
well, and let's say that rude is the last word that occurs to me when I think of a description of UV. You're a very polite person.
I would think so. Thank you.
I'm not sure why he called me rude, but he called me rude
drunk.
Because.
And Bill's drunk, right? This guy has no perception of
anything. Billy said, "Don't go there." When I see "don't go there," I don't go there.
And that was quite rude. Disrespect for an elderly man. Okay, Bill, you've been a journalist for decades. Okay, right?
45 years.
45 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that long eclipsed my experience, or Will's experience, but you know, that's why we have a fair and balanced show. And that is the point of me having multiple hosts on the show. Because if it's going to be a situation where we have a BSer, go ahead, Will. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, but I mean, it doesn't get any more free and open than you sign up on this list, you can say whatever you want. Now, you know, maybe that guy said, "I'm not qualified in any way to say how or why you're rude, but I'll still call you rude." But you know what? We don't have to sit here and politely kiss people's butts, too. That's not our job. I mean, the fact that you let somebody go for 41 minutes just saying whatever they wanted to say before you came back, and nobody said, "Hey, you son of a bee." They just said, "Hey, I disagree with what you're talking about." So it might not have been the most polite thing ever, but I mean, it doesn't get pretty much more open than come on this show that's worldwide, talk about whatever you want. Maybe 40 minutes in, we'll give you a little bit of a pushback. So I don't think that you did anything wrong at all.
Okay.
I love Will. This is Rich. I love Will. Go ahead.
It's just a pleasant experience. I've been in media for 5 years now, and I can say that this was very pleasant. I would really like for people to come on to the show and say, "Hey, I disagree with you," and "Hey, come on the show, trash me, get going." That's fine. But let's have a show and let's conduct it properly, and don't hang up because someone disagrees with you. If you can't hang, you can't hang. I understand, but don't put yourself out there like you are the end all, and not come with it. So, guys, any last statements here? We're about to wind out to the end of the show. A couple minutes for statements across the board here.
Yeah, go to my YouTube, Demand the Truth. Also, just Google the Rhode Island General Assembly. Today was the fifth time I confronted our governor here. I remember I checked in recently. She doesn't care about the missing kids that we have here in Rhode Island. 20 to 25 kids go missing every single day. We were ranked again dead last for business. She was voted second least popular governor again. Providence schools are the worst in the nation, and she's hanging out with Facebook, Disney, Google Elite at the Tech Valley Bank Conference out there in Idaho, and she can't answer my questions. So just share that around. We don't want her using the Rhode Island governorship to hop anywhere else, like maybe a federal position. And just go email Rhode Island General Assembly, Rhode Island Governor. If we all email asking about the missing kids, then enough will be enough, and they'll finally hopefully take some action, and at least we'll put the feet to the fire. So thank you again for the time, and thank you very much for this platform, and not just for me, but for anybody can call, anybody here can sign up and share any ideas that they want, and we're going to give you some free time. And if your opinions don't meet up to critical thought or logic, then we will also question you. But this doesn't mean we hate you or that's a hate crime. So thanks again, V.
All right. My statement is, if you can't run with the big dogs, just keep your butt back up on the porch.
Good old Southern.
Despite whatever might have had been said or happened, you landed a good guest there, V. I'm looking forward to listening to your show and when possible being a part of your show. But particularly this guy Tom, I want to thank you very much for you turning me on to him. And I've now developed an interest in Will. It sounds like Will is a fellow traveler, and I'm interested in what he's doing.
Ted, by the way, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Ted, is that you?
Yeah.
Hey, why
the hell did you tell me you were here, man?
I was talking to you. That was me talking earlier.
I've got a cabaret, man. I'm sorry.
He's so drunk, he doesn't know what's going on. Hey, but Ted, the thing with Tom, I'm so glad to hear about that. And Friday is back on, guys. Let's bring Tom.
Good. Good.
My simulcast with Pirate Radio is not going to be for another month. So let's have him back on. Anyways, thank you all for tuning in to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I'm your host, V. And remember, in the land of surveillance, the man with third eye is king. So educate yourselves.
All right, I'm going to this beer, man.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.